Recording started.
Pardon me? We started
the recording.
Already.
Yeah,
we're
started.
Recording right now. So, Mike, tell people a little bit about who you are who don't know who you are. I mean, you're in the Philippines right now, but you created the Golden Globe Awards, the Four Seasons. You're a movie star. You're an actor. You're an author. But you made black belt what year? And tell people a little bit about your history, Mike. Go ahead. Then we'll talk about John Eric.
Well, there's really, honestly, Gary, there's nothing really to say. I was just blessed to start karate at a time that it was a very new idea, a new concept, a new sport. I was fortunate enough to do well at the time that I was in it. And as a result of it, have been blessed with an incredible life. And even with the decision of moving to the Philippines 35 years ago, it's definitely the best decision I've ever made. Because I came here primarily to discover what I think a lot of martial artists went into the martial arts for. You know, growing up in Hawaii, as you guys all know, you know, we are exposed to the Japanese culture, so many different cultures. But when I was a young kid, I loved to watch samurai movies and stuff like that. So for me, my interest started when I was like a junior in high school, when I had a chance to take Aikido from Koichi Tohei. And my interest grew, but primarily it was because, to be truthful, I had so many issues growing up. I had an attitude problem. I was, from the death of my mother, I just went south with my attitude and my anger and my resentment. And it wasn't a very good turning point in my life. But I saw refuge in the martial arts when I saw, and I actually met Koichi Tohei from Aikido and then other martial arts things, watching movies. I really wanted to get what I feel the martial arts was all about. And I'm going to say honestly, sadly, even though I did benefit greatly from my experiences in the martial arts and all that I've done, I really didn't feel that I had gotten what I wanted out of the martial arts, the honor, the respect, the integrity, these things that are talked about so much but so little practiced by our own people. So this kind of turned me off to the direction I seen karate and the martial arts moving. And I really didn't want to participate in it anymore that way. And all these wonderful ideas about really honor, respect, and integrity, I felt was no longer even a part of the instructional format that it was coming about because of the change in making it commercial. The only way I could find it was to come to an isolated island like I did here, and in the peace and tranquility, in taking the time to really find out who I really was, that was the most rewarding. So, but I do appreciate everything. I appreciate all the people like John and Eric. My God, what ambassadors, and you, Gary, for Hawaii. So everybody has contributed the best they can with who they were and what they had at that time. It's a different time. We have to adjust.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, yeah. What year did you make black belt, Mike?
I'm sorry?
What year did you make black belt?
1963.
Well, okay. Now,
yeah, I think Eric wasn't born yet.
I know, I was born already.
Now, John, tell a little bit about you, because I know you're a black belt under Chuck Norris, and you're known as the Giant Killer. So tell people what year did you make black belt, and you're in all of Las Vegas now. But tell more people a little bit about you, please. John the Timid.
Well, I was one of those guys that had an attitude problem, too. I didn't find myself until about 20 years later. I realized that the martial art wasn't, it was a respect for life, respect of your elders and your loved ones. That's more important than anything else that I found out. You know, all the winning and all the competition wasn't, you know, I believed in one day you didn't compete against anyone else. You competed against yourself.
Yep,
you always tried to be better than you was yesterday.
Yes, sir.
The day before.
You're an amazing fighter. And we're
you know, well, I've modeled myself against guys like Master Sensei Stone. You know, he was an inspiration to me.
Yes,
a lot.
You're our hero. Well, all three of you are my heroes, but let's talk about Eric a little bit. Eric, tell people a little bit about who you are who don't know who you are. I mean, you're kind
well,
of...
Grandmaster Mike Stone, he was talking about the martial ethic. The respect, the honor, integrity was not there. So fighting skill or technical skill is one thing. For me, as I look at all system as one, I look at everybody as a martial arts family. But because I grew up in the old school also, because I was born in China, I live in Hong Kong. My father, he studied with the Choi Lei Fat system when I was watching him train when I was only 2 years old. And he's an herbalist. And I believe the true ethic, the respect, the honor, we have to have it first. That's more important because two way of healing. One is martial ethic. The other one is physical skill. And it's yin and yang. Both are important. And then each one of us here, John and Mr. Stone, he in Boho, I understand I've been Philippines before, and I've been Thailand, Europe, and all, you've been a lot of places.
Hey, Eric, I want to interrupt you 1 second, please. First of all, I want to ask permission to ask Mr. Stone to call you Mike in front of all these people. Please, Mike, can I call you Mike, please? I'm sorry.
Yes, please, I prefer that. Yes, thank you.
Just listen to Tibidab, may I call you John?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. So people don't realize that we're old friends. Mr. Lee, may I call you Eric?
Of course.
I know. But listen, guys, you know, you guys all three talked about the love and honor and the respect of the elders and the history. And that's what I love about this. And right off the bat, you know, I apologize for what happened because normally we don't have a technical difficulty. But, you know, for 6 years, I've been on the air, and this is like a dream show to have the three of you guys on the air together. And, you know, I just want to say thank you for your patience, and we're going to be recording. So I'm sure that Mr. Bowen will put this on the air, and we can record it, which is recording right now, and we'll put it on the air so people can listen. So, Mike, I want to ask you a personal question. You were known as the superstar of America. Now, I hung out with, you know, in the early years of the museum with Mr. Burleson and Jack Wong and Mr. Harrison and golly bum, Mr. Daniel and Mr. Lewis. They all told me stories about you, Mike, that you were a brutal, brutal, brutal fighter. Now, let me ask you a question, because you're a hero, but I want to ask you, what made you such a competitor? What made you such a winner? What drove you?
Well, I think what started, again, I keep going back to this because this has been the really turning point in my life. My mother's death was a very traumatic experience for me. I was crushed and devastated. I immediately turned the idea of her death, I felt it was very unfair. So I internalized it in a very negative way, and that I felt people had to pay. Somebody was responsible for her death, whether it was the doctor, my father, whoever. Yeah.
Well,
so,
I'm, not, I understand, because I was talking to John today. When I was fighting, I had a street fighting mentality where I wasn't that good, but I was scrappy, Mike, you know, and I understood what it's like to fight, you know, other than just tournaments. So, you know, the big thing about it, Eric, John, Mike, we were Hawaiians. We had the attitude that was different. It's not that we were better. We were just different. John, Eric, Mike, want to say something about that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, somebody. Why are we different?
Go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, you know, when we were growing up, we had the strict discipline to be somebody. So we tried hard. You know, I grew up traveling around the country and traveling around the world because my dad was in the army. So we had, you know, I got on the bus one time in Fort Eustis, Virginia, and I paid my toll, and the guy said, well, sit in the back. I said, I'm not black, I'm Hawaiian. He told me, well, I'll swim back. You know, so, you know, I grew up in an era of wanting freedom, wanting more than just being there, being somebody. I tried hard, I worked hard, and I trained hard. So somebody would recognize my name.
Well, you know, the neat thing about, okay, Mike and John and Eric. Eric, you were called the Little King of Kata. John was called the Giant Killer. Mike, did you have a nickname?
Do I?
Yeah, Mike, did you have a nickname, or are you just Mike Stone?
Well, there was a nickname that the magazine articles and everything gave me called the Animal.
The Animal, I love that. I love that. Now, I got to ask you, because I wanted to ask you, even at the grand opening, I wanted to ask you this. What made you desire to create the Golden Globe Awards? Because that was the first, like the Academy Awards of martial arts. What made you decide to do that, and what motivated you to do the Golden Globe Awards? And then I'm going to ask you about the Four Seasons tournament that you created. That was cool, too.
Well, the Golden Fist Awards came about because I had seen the tremendous contributions other people had made to our sport and art, and I wanted to give them recognition beyond what the magazines were doing, because there were only a few publications at that time, and many of them, people that really deserved recognition and have really contributed to our art and sport, never had a chance to be in those issues. So I thought on a local level, what we could do was make it similar, give it the dignity that the people deserve by having it similar to the Academy Awards. So I called it the Golden Fist Awards. And then we just paid tribute to a lot of people from across the country that really did, like John said, they worked hard, they competed hard, they fought hard, they trained hard. And it was just one way of giving back to them, give them some recognition for all that they have accomplished and contributed.
That was a tremendous show.
Yeah, Mike, I got two of those awards from you. The Golden Fist Award, that's way back in the 70s.
What was that like,
and I still have it.
The Golden Fist Award. What was that like, buddy, back then?
Are you talking to Mike? Me? John?
Yeah, I'm talking to you, Eric. What was it like to receive that award?
Well, at that time, I just do that, just like everybody else, we try to do the best we can without knowing this kind of skill was handed. I was just being a channel by the higher source. And I feel that we you know, all of us here done a lot of things, especially Mike and John and I came up about the same time. We competed at the same time. Mike is a lot longer, back a few more years. So I feel that I feel honored that I can inspire people before I expire. That's my whole thing.
Yeah.
And then also
I got to ask you, because I didn't start competing in 1969. But what was it like competing in the 60s, Eric, John, and Mike? What was it like? I mean, I know it was different, but with no equipment, and it was brutal. Blood and guts.
That's why they called it the blood and guts period. You know,
tell me, you
should hit the guy in the ribs. You should hit the guy in the ribs, and he goes, oh, you're supposed to use control. You know, you tell him, I want to break your ribs. Sorry, get control.
So
you know, we fought hard. We didn't try to prove a point. We didn't. We weren't vicious. We were just hard fighters.
Okay, Mike, Eric, and John. What was the toughest parts of the country to compete in? New York, California, or Texas?
Well, I live in Oakland. So I'm small, so I have to be able to learn something. That's why I started from doing 50s. I didn't train yet, but I was watching all this kung fu movie, and I was inspired by these people. I later on I met some of them in 1950. I happened to meet this one person. Those days he was a movie star. His name is Lam Gao. Hong Kong, and he was in a dirt flat, and then I actually knew his son, and I met him about 35, 40 years ago, and then he was fighting in the dirt floor, and he fell. Always, that his basic was so strong from the dirt floor, he landed on a horse stand, not even scratched. I was very impressed, and later on, they invented the stunt double.
Wow.
So anyway,
now, Mike,
where
was your toughest competition at? New York?
No, that was in Hong Kong.
No, for me, Gary, I was fortunate enough to compete in every corner of the United States. And I like Texas the best because Texas and California had really the best competitors at that time. I'm talking about what I consider the peak of controlled, quote-unquote, contact was in the 70s, the era of John and a bunch of other people. Up until about 73, I thought the very best competitors, even far better than my time. My time, the people were fighting just for survival because it was blood and guts. The rules that they had did not apply. You never complained about getting hit. Face contact was part of the game. I never wore a mouthpiece. I never wore a protective cup. I would be embarrassed to wear it as a fighter. So, but Texas and some of the better people in California were really the toughest. And I like that energy. I love the spirit. I love the competitiveness. I just love their mindset that you're going to go in there, you're going to do the best you can. And it's not about your opponent. I never believed I had opponents. The guy across from me was just put in the ring for me to beat the shit out of. That was his function. And the rest of it was... Did I say something funny?
No. You did.
That's good. It's good enough.
Well, you tell the truth. Well, I got to ask all three of you, because all three of you experienced the living legends in the Sport Karate Museum. Eric, we roasted you, and John, we roasted you. Mike, I'm going to roast you eventually. So here's the deal. I want to ask all three of you, and all three of you please answer. What's it like coming and experiencing the legends, what we've done with the Sport Karate Museum? Mike, you go first, please.
I'm sorry, Gary. What was the question?
Okay. What's it like coming and experiencing the Sport Karate Museum and what I've done? Because you were the first person I called almost 26 years ago. I mean, I called you, and then John, and then Eric, and Michael DePasquale Sr., and Gobby Bum, Uncle Sid, Uncle Wally. I caught a lot of people in the beginning. Peter Urban. Remember Peter Urban?
Yes,
right. I do.
What's it like being a part of the Sport Climbing Museum? I mean, I need for you to just tell me from your heart, what's it like being a part of this?
Yeah, well, you always will get it from my heart, and you'll get the truth. The thing I really liked about it from the very outset was, number one, the small idea that I expressed through the Golden Fist Awards, you magnified it 1,000 times by creating the museum. So what I had tried to do in my small little way, you have far exceeded that, much, much better. And the idea about creating a history, this is so true. It's necessary that we have a history, that we have a home. And the museum that you have spent so much of your life dedicated to sharing and giving and telling, like you said, one warrior at a time, I mean, it's invaluable. I wish other people would appreciate it even more so, because as time passes, you know, history can be changed, it can be forgotten, it's not understood. But I think what you've done with the History Museum, you've kept intact the spirit of the people, and that is what's important.
Well, thank you, Mike. John,
hello, Gary.
You've been to a couple of legends, and we roasted you. How do you feel about the Sport Climbing Museum and the work that we've done?
Well, from the bottom of my heart, I thank you very much for including me in there, Gary. You know, I'm honored to be amongst the people that are involved in that. I'm glad that you do it. I'm glad that you got the Ohana spirit to do it, and, the vision to do
it. You motivate me, John. Every day I call you. Eric, how do you feel about it since we roasted you in the beginning?
Well, it's a good thing that you preserve the purity. And the people, we haven't been active for a while as far as the tournament, especially nowadays. And Mike, he went back the long way, and then I was about the same time as John. So somebody like you preserved the history, and it's admirable. So it's really good thing to do, and more people know about this, because everything that we have done become history. So the martial art is much like home. I agree with Mike earlier, and then there are a lot of the honor and property, a true respect is not there. But sometimes we have to understand, for me, the people, we have to forgive them because they don't know. So we just move on. But now, because we are older, and all of us are somewhat like senior citizens, so I believe more in the healing. And so what we're looking for now is, what we're doing now is more martial ethic, more important than just fighting. All of us did something, either street fighting or tournament, but now it's more of integrity and true respect deep down the soul of that individual character. It shows some people really have it, and some people still try to get it, and some people don't know they can get it. So all of us here have did the best we can, and we continue to do so. Next generation come. So I believe I'm very much into healing. Because I believe if you learn how to hit, you have to learn how to heal. So I'm very much into healing now, because that's
yin and
mind and body together.
Yin and yang. And
yeah, yin and yang.
Yes. And now, Mike, you've got a book out. We already talked about that a little bit. We're going to talk about Eric's book, too. But, Mike, tell me about your book that you got going.
Well, I've actually been writing this. Yes, sir. Yeah, I've actually been writing this book for pretty much the past 50 years. As time goes on, I keep writing a little bit about each period that I go through and what I've learned, the mistakes I've made. So I've recorded that over the last 50 years or so. And what has happened in the last month is I finally got very serious about the idea of writing an autobiography. And in it is going to be quite extensive in the fact that I'll be talking about, obviously, my childhood, and then the period of time, a little bit of what I did in high school as an athlete, and then starting in the Army and doing martial arts. And then as a teacher, as a promoter, getting involved in the movie industry with celebrities, the different people I've met throughout my life. You know, life to me is all about relationships. That's really what life is. That's why they call this the relative world in which we live. That is all about relationships. So I talk a lot about the different relationships that I've had throughout the years and how I've changed so much. I think a lot of people would not recognize me, not physically. I look pretty much the same. But my attitude and character has changed tremendously in the 35 years I lived here on the island. And this is what I really want to share with the people in my book, is that as bad as I was when I was younger in my early years, as misunderstood, not really, because it was my attitude, resentment and anger that drove me. So there were benefits from having that particular idea about myself. But to make the transformation, to make the change into the person I have always wanted to be, I've only found that by looking within myself and not comparing or looking outside about what other people are doing with their lives. I've accepted 100% of all the choices I've made and the results, the outcomes and consequences of those choices. So I think by realizing that and living that way on a day-to-day basis like I have been, I think that is the lesson. That is my contribution, not what I've done as an athlete.
Yes, sir. Well, guys, I'm going to just take 30 seconds to pay tribute to two men that are very important. And, you know, normally we start out a little bit different, but today we had a couple of technical difficulties. But we lost Butch Vallez and Cliff Stewart just recently. And Butch Vallez was a Chateau Rouge stylist. He was out of North Carolina, and he was really very, very, very good. But you guys knew Cliff Stewart, I'm sure. He was one of the co-founders of the BKF, the Black Karate Federation. So, guys, out of love and respect to my friend Jerry Smith, who was supposed to be the surprise guest tonight, and he's trying to get on right now, I'd like to spend 30 seconds of silence for Cliff Stewart and Butch Vallez. Please. 30 seconds. Thank you, guys.
Jerry?
Yes, sir. 1 second, please. Thank you. I promised Uncle Jerry I would do that for Cliff. Mike, I feel that we're losing a lot of cool people, you know, that started the generation that you guys were in. And you know what's really fun? I know that, Mike, you're what, 65 or
try 77.
Okay. And I know John
Gary, when,
right?
Gary, when you went to school in Hawaii, could you count that high? 77?
Yeah. John, how old are you? John, how
73.
Old are you?
73.
And Eric, I know how old you are. You're 39. I know how old you
are.
Yeah,
right. I'm same age as John.
Gary.
Actually.
Well, you know, I remember 25 years ago, you told me, Eric, not to mention your age, so I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I love the fact that we're that generation that respect and love the elders. And, again, I feel like a kid on Christmas morning having my heroes on the air tonight.
Hey, Gary.
I know we had a little difficulty, but God bless you guys. Eric, are you there?
Go ahead, John.
Gary, I want to pay tribute to you guys, other Hawaiian guys, Elgin Karalia and Carlos Bunda.
Yeah. Glenn Rubaco.
Carlos Bunda. I know him.
Yeah. I miss Bobby. I miss those guys, you know. But you know what, John? I want to say this, Mike. I don't know if you know this or not, but when John and I received the Joe Louis Eternal Award in the Battle of Atlanta, we dedicated our award to all the Hawaiians that never got to leave the islands. I mean, I love that. And Joe let us do that.
That's great. Very unselfish of you.
That's good.
Well,
yeah.
Joe and Jeff and Bill, which are your friends, they allowed us to do that. And I'll never forget that. John and I stood next to each other. We dedicated our award. Now, I know you know a lot of the Hawaiians didn't get to leave the islands to come to the mainland. What was it like? I know what it was like for me because I used to look over the ocean and I could see the mainland. And I never thought I'd be who I became or a fighter. But what was it like, Mike, John, Eric, coming to the mainland? Was it hard for you guys?
Which one you asking? My first.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, it wasn't difficult for me only because I really looked forward to it. I felt when I was an athlete in high school that I wanted to see what more I could do to get off the rock because, you know, Maui is a very small place. So the opportunity to leave Hawaii and go to America and compete with people that are older, faster, wiser, more experienced, stronger. This to me was something I really looked forward to. So it was a joy for me.
Yes, sir. How about you, John? Did you look forward?
No, I didn't have as much trouble as I did when I first went over. When I first went over to the mainland, one of my instructors, Jerry Taylor, who passed away a couple weeks ago, he told me, he said, "Hey, bro, I hate to tell you this, but there's a lot of Hollies here. You can't beat them all."
No, they were just trying to be friendly. They say, "Howdy." They didn't say, "Howdy."
Now, Eric, you got a new book coming out, too. Tell me a little bit about your book.
My book, it's called A Journey of an Artist, because let's put it this way, anything that we don't know, they are our teacher, they are an artist. If you're a cook, if you're a carpet cleaner, if you fly airplane, you can play golf, or you can do real good with music or anything. They are an artist. So that's why I was going to say the legacy of Eric Lee. I say, no, that's not good. There are a lot of artists out there. Everybody that knows something, they are my teacher. They can be my teacher. They can be sensei, sifu, whatever you call. And then so I decided to dedicate, and hopefully this book will inspire some of the folks out there that want to do something and get up there and take action and do it. I'm trying to leave out the politics and religion out. So I know that can mess you up, but so I just leave them alone. But instead, I'm trying to inspire other people that they do have something in them. All they got to do is follow their heart, follow their dream, and take action towards it. That's all. And that's this book is the Journey of an Artist in Amazon right now.
That's cool.
That's all.
Now, Mike, I got to ask you a question. How long have you known Eric?
Is forever long enough?
That's pretty close. But was he crazy when he was young like he is now? Because Eric's a little crazy.
Well, the difference now is two things that I've noticed about my love, Eric. He has a lot less hair now.
We all.
And the other thing I noticed is that he is a very good singer. I've listened to several of his videos, and I am jealous, so I'm making my own recordings. I figure if Eric can do it, hell, I can do it.
Yeah, hey, Mike, maybe someday we do a duet together, huh?
Well,
yeah,
poetry,
we're going to do
it. You do poetry. Why can't you put some of your poetry just to music? I mean, you're such a gifted poetry writer. Now, I got to ask you another question. The afro, because that was what you're known for. It gave you like 4 more inches in height, but, you know, it was your trademark, that and your fist and your attitude in karate tournament. I mean, what made you have such, you don't have an afro now, do you? I mean, you got.
No, I don't. If I had an afro now, like I did before, I would be called a Q-tip.
Well, Eric, where's your afro at?
I never had afro. I don't have enough hair to be afro. Actually, I have hair now. When Mike, I shaved my hair for like 5-6 years. I look like a monk, but I let it grow back because when I cut my hair, I didn't have to spray it. I don't have to use my hairbrush and anything like that. Now I have to do it again. Still, it's been thin out. It's okay. It's maturing, you know. So don't be afraid of having less hair. Actually,
you might, you know, do your haircut a little bit different. 39, you got to change a little bit. Well, Mike, I got to ask you: did you ever watch John fight?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Are you? I not only watched him, I was in the ring with him, but luckily only as an official, not a fighter.
Tell me what impression.
One of the best fights I've seen John in was really, it's still one of my favorite. It was when he fought Benny at the Internationals.
Yeah,
that was just, I mean, it was like, I mean, if you're from Hawaii and you've seen cockfighting, that's what it is. It's like two little roosters jumping up and down and doing amazing things that people were so in awe of just watching them do stuff that nobody has ever done. It was just beautiful. John, I love you.
I love you too.
Well, John,
Mike,
you ever watch Mike
my
fight?
Coach. You
John, you John. Watch Mike fight? Tell me about Mike. What was Mike's qualities? What
remember, John, you
yeah,
are...
I remember one time when he was going in the ring, I saw that. He said, I'm going to ask the guy why he paid that money to fight me. I'm going to take
you
out of private lessons.
Ducata King. Now, John and Mike, you ever watch Eric Ducata? Why he become the World King of Kata?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, by the way,
how good was Eric? I don't want Eric to talk because Eric will tell me how good he was. I want John and Mike to tell me if Eric was that good to be named the Little King of Kata.
By the way, the Kata has nothing to do with Jimmy Kata, Kata Cheese, anything like that.
See, Eric's talking about something. I don't want to talk about something. I want John and Mike to say something about it. What do you think about Eric Lee when he saw him in Kata?
He sucks.
Old school.
Typical Hawaiian attitude. Now, let me ask you, Mike and John. You weren't the guys who used to walk down Honolulu with your shirt open and looking for fights. You guys never did that, did you?
No, I did it. I did it in Arkansas.
In Arkansas. Because in Hawaii, the guys who lit their shirts wide open, they looked like they were looking for fights. I mean, maybe it was different when you guys were in the 60s, but I knew there was a lot of attitudes in Hawaii, too. You know, but the majority of Hawaiians have a good heart, and they have a good attitude. And, you know, I cherish the fact that I was born there, and I cherish the fact that I got to come to America and got to hang out with my heroes. And you guys are my heroes. Now, Mike, I want to ask you another question. You came to the grand opening of the Sport Karate Museum a few years back, and you came from the Philippines. And by the way, I want to say congratulations to Hogarth. God bless Hogarth. I think he's in the book with Chuck Norris. And by the way, surprise, Hunty Bowen, through the effort that I put in, he's put you into the book. Under Chuck Norris's second edition. You didn't know that, did you, Mike?
No, I didn't. But I saw the thing yesterday. I guess you posted it. Yeah. Thank you very much, both of you.
I already nominated Eric and John. I think we're still waiting on Eric because Eric, you know, he does everything real slow. But he does it, but he does it slow.
Yeah, very slow. I went to a Tai Chi picnic about 40 years ago, and I'm doing Tai Chi now. I just got back yesterday. These guys are moving so slow.
You're still eating that poi and that from 1970. I know, Eric, you're a slow eater, too. Now, let me ask you another question, Eric, while I got you on the line. How's James doing? I know he's a good friend of yours. Is James doing okay?
James
Hong. How's he doing?
Oh, okay. And James Hong is doing fine. He's 91 years old, something like that. And every time I see him, I get bruised ribs because he elbow me and say, "Eric, do me." So I do him. So I make his voice, and you know, I can imitate his voice just for fun, you know. But he is still the same.
Well,
he can dance, he can move, and he can act.
I think that's a trademark movie for the martial arts because it starred Stuart Kwan and you and James Liu and golly, James Hong, and it was so cool. Now, Mike, you've done quite a few movies. Tell my listeners some of the movies that you've been in, and you choreographed the American Ninja 2 with Dunkoff. But what kind of movies have you done, sir?
Well, not that many, actually. I think I only did about 17. But one of the ones I really enjoyed, other than the martial arts films, was I was in Argentina for 6 months working on a movie called The Highlander with Sean Connery, Christopher Lambert, Michael Ironside. But I really enjoyed that because we were there for 6 months.
Wow.
Wow, that was a classic.
That's great.
Well, guys, I want to share something with you. This is very important. You know, first of all, I love all three of you. You guys know that. And, you know, last year I had a stroke during John's roast and everything. But, you know, I had Ron Marchini, Mr. Algeria, Jim Buten, and Mr. Kerman. I had a lot of people. Casey Jones, Jerry Smith. And they all came out because the museum is very powerful. The history is very powerful. The heart, the mahalo, the ohana is very powerful. And that's been the fuel that's driven me through the stroke and through the things I've done to keep all you guys together. And I want to say thank you, even though we had technical difficulties tonight, I want to say thank you to Hunty Jesse Bowen for putting me on the air for 6 years and honoring the pioneers. And to have a show like John the Tibidat and Mike Stone and Eric Lee, I just can't tell you. And what we're going to do, I'm sure he's going to this is recording. We're going to put it on the air. As soon as it's on the air, I'll put it out on the media. And you can copy it and let your friends listen. And I'll be honest with you. Today, I spent almost 3 hours advertising that I was going to have you three guys on the air. So
we appreciate that.
Listen to us tonight. They'll listen to the show recording that we'll put on the air here when we're done. But, Mike, when are you going to come into the mainland? I know you visit Bob a lot, but when are you planning to come to the mainland? Do you advertise your book or do you come visit us?
Yeah, we want to know about that, Mike.
Yeah, I have no plans right now, obviously, because of the COVID situation. But we are talking with a couple people about a mini-series, a six-part series about my life, and also a movie possibility about my life from some people in Hollywood. And there's already a plan set up for me to make a tour through Europe and the UK to promote the book. But I'll probably be in the States to do that. You know, we're just, while we have an opportunity to talk about the COVID thing, which has been devastating to the whole planet, and of course to everybody's individual lives, it's been affected by it. I just want everybody to know that, you know, we're praying for everybody, and that everybody just do the best that you can. Just be safe. But yeah, I look forward to coming to the States soon, visiting all my wonderful martial arts friends again. I really miss you guys. Thank you.
Well,
that's true.
About you every day, and you can ask John or Eric next time you talk to him. I talk about you a lot, Mike. I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate the fact that you allowed me to be just around you and talk to you. And John, I feel the same way about you. And Eric, you know how I feel about you, buddy. Well, thank you, guys, and I'm going to put this on the air as soon as we get done.
You've been safe,
and,
Mike.
Yeah, Mike, you please be safe. When you get to the States.
Yeah, thank you. Love you, guys.
Thank you. Love you guys too. Aloha.
Mahalo.
Mahalo. Thank you everybody for listening tonight. And AJ and Dean, I apologize, but we'll be on the air next week. God bless you, Mike. God bless you, John. Love you, Eric. God bless you guys. Mahalo.
Thank you. Aloha.
Okay. Bye bye.
Mahalo.